WSBGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, welcome back to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me today, Mike Brammer. And we're going to talk about the Notre Dame Rutgers game. It's a, was it an ugly win, or is there such a thing as an ugly win on the road in the Big East as the season starts drawing to a close? That's what we're going to be talking about. The Irish obviously come away from New Jersey at 19-5, 9-3 in the Big East. Only a half game out of first place as we really head into the stretch drive. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or go to our website, domeanddomer.com. Bram, what do you think? I mean, did you get a chance to watch the game, or did you listen on the radio? Let's start there.
I watched the whole thing. And it was, at this point in the season, you just take a win wherever you can get it. It's not like Rutgers is a bad team.
Yes, they are.
Well, they're bad, but they've beaten Villanova. They beat Pittsburgh in the same week, so they're at least somewhat. They've got some talent. Now, they got a big kid who's got extremely long arms, and we all know what that means as far as frustrating Heron Gutty. But, yeah, I mean, I think it was a big win. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, they're all big. It's a cliche. It's trite. But, I mean, that's the truth. That's why conference play is so great. And, every game counts. Every game means something. But, excuse me, it was certainly not our best effort. And I see what you're saying about Rutgers. They're a competitive squad. A couple big wins, a couple near misses. And, you know, this is why the Big East is the top conference in the country, top to bottom.
Yeah, and there were some things that we did that were kind of rough. I mean, again, here we are coming down the stretch and not able to close it out like we should. I mean, we lost at UConn, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, if you look at what we did the last 7 minutes of that game, I mean, we did not shoot the ball well at all. Heron Gutty gets to the line and then misses his first free throw. Luckily, they hit it out of bounds.
Well, that was the play of the game. I mean, there was a couple big plays. Let's talk about some of our favorite plays during the game. But you mentioned that one. So, wow, we dodged a bullet there. That's the kind of thing a bad team does. I mean, you just no explaining it. Two Rutgers guys had the rebound after the miss on the front end of the one-on-one. I tell you what, had they had the ball down one with 10 seconds to go, I would have been very, very nervous.
Yeah, because they're not going to force up a three. They're just going to go right to the bucket hard. You know the refs aren't going to call anything. They're going to crash the boards hard, and anything can happen. I mean, that was a little disappointing. That doesn't take away from Kurz's shot prior to that put us up. I mean, that was an enormous shot.
Yeah, a couple big plays in the game. Obviously, the Kurz shot from the baseline, huge. Love to see that your captain step up, knock down a big shot like that. Earlier in the second half, he hit a huge three that got us going a little bit. And that was in the middle of a run. You know, we had fallen behind by, I think, 5 points. It's starting to get a little late. We get a three from Kurz. We get a three from McLarney. And just how about the overall play of Torrey Jackson the whole day?
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to look at the key to the game, it was his offensive rebounds was the key to the game. He's a guy that you don't expect to go down low. And if you're a point guard playing defense against him, that's not something you do is box somebody out every day that you play. And a guy like Torrey Jackson, I mean, what did he have, 7 rebounds?
I think he had 8 rebounds. I don't remember the offensive rebounds so much. What was the situation when he pulled those offensive rebounds? Were they putbacks, or I don't remember
that? Yeah, one of them was a putback that was huge. He got fouled and hit one of the free throws. I mean, the ball should have clearly gone over to Rutgers, but it was his hustle that did it. The other times, I think he got the rebound and then got out of there, but we end up scoring on that possession. So, I mean, that's why that's such a huge thing. But, you know, he's just one of those kind of guys that knows where the ball's going, gets to the spot, and gets his rebound.
He does so many things well, too. It's easy to pick on his shooting percentage and his free throw percentage, although I like he's generally a clutch guy with the game on the line. But he does so many things well, runs the floor, plays defense, got great hands. You know, he's one of the leading guys in the Big East, first or second in assists. And now we're starting to see the Torrey Jackson of last year who's starting to score with some regularity. And, again, we've talked about it on this program before. When we get that third scoring option, we're so tough to defend. And it can come from Ayers. It can come from Kurz. It can come from now Torrey Jackson. Hillsland gives you points. Again, a lot of reasons to love this team. And even though we didn't play great yesterday, they gutted it out. When they were down 5 on the road, they could have gone away. They could have folded up the tent and packed it in.
You know, you look at the fact that, I mean, who would have said going into that game, all right, Heron Good is going to score 10 points. What are your guys' chances? I mean, you would have, your initial reaction would have been, oh, God. But the fact of the matter is everybody else stepped up where they needed to. The big shot by Kurz, the three-pointer, I mean, that was a huge shot. In that same sequence, Torrey Jackson came down. You know, here's the point guard bringing the ball. I mean, we need a bucket in a big way. He comes down and then just drives the lane and throws up a layup. And I don't mean throw it up, because 9 times out of 10, when he shoots a layup, he hits it. And it's huge. I mean, that's just to have a guy that can just do that off the dribble, we haven't had that in years past.
No, it's a great dimension to the offense to not have to run, you know, sets all the time or get into the low post, a guy that creates his own shot. And not only Torrey Jackson, but, again, Hilsland is giving you some of that. How about another guy whose contributions I think were real key? Ryan Ayers, I thought, played a great game and was in the middle of several big plays, particularly in the first half. Do you remember the inbounds play? Rutgers had it. This is a second-half play. And Rutgers is making their run, and they're inbounding it off their basket, and we kind of fall asleep, and the inbounder throws it up high in the lane. Looks like it's going to be an easy bucket. And Ayers, with his length, he blocks the shot. That was a very big play in the game.
Oh, that was huge. And he's that way where he deceivingly is a better defender than you'd think. I mean, he actually anticipates well. He's got long arms. I mean, that always helps. But, I mean, he's that kind of guy. He's just a smart kid. He's a smart basketball player. He knows when to anticipate passes. And that's a dimension that you just don't often see. And that's why him coming on the court is like having another starter. I mean, he's, even though, you know, we've been starting Hilsland lately, and that clearly has worked for us. So I don't see that changing. But, you know, Ayers has really responded. I mean, he comes in, and it's like we don't miss a beat, and we add another threat to the three. Zellers has been doing the same thing. I mean, he has been knocking down a big three every game in the last 5 games, it seems like.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say your boy Zeller did it again. And that is a tremendous weapon. And, he comes off ready to shoot and knocks down a very high percentage of those. Jonathan Peoples, again, gives you some good minutes. You know, that wasn't his best contribution, but the bench continues to be a real asset for this team as, you know, Mike Bray goes 8 deep. There was a good article in the South Bend Tribune over the weekend about the freshmen. Did you happen to see that? A little profile on each of the freshmen and how they're handling this year.
You know, I did not see that.
Well, it was good to, you know, of course they're going to say stuff for public consumption. That always sounds good. But it was just kind of a little look into their psyche about how hard it is to play on this team. You know, these guys are all high school superstars, and they sit and they ride the pines. But because there's such great veteran leadership on this team, I think they're all in a good place relative to their playing time and their future, because you can look at a guy like Rob Kurz, who can say, hey, I was there as a freshman, guys. Now look at me now. Hilsland didn't play much as a freshman. You know, on down the line, Ryan Ayers didn't play much early in his career. And I think that this is the kind of program Mike Bray is developing where – it's okay to pay your dues, and that's something that a lot of young guys don't understand. They want to step in and play right now, but it's okay to pay your dues, and still, you could still have a great career for 2-3 years.
Yeah, and it's obviously worked for us, and it's clear that that's the kind of guys that Bray is going after. I mean, he doesn't go after the one and dones. You know, we're not going to get a superstar in here that then leaves for the NBA. I mean, that, if you think about it, that's really not Notre Dame. I mean, that's not what we do. We just don't have those kind of like superstar athletes that come play basketball at Notre Dame. So I think Bray has settled in with the approach that he takes and the kind of players that he wants. And he always seems to get the sharpshooter. And, if I were a sharpshooter high school senior right now, you got to seriously consider Notre Dame. I mean, look at the guys that we have sent into the pros that have been Big East, performers that have made first team All Big East, and they're some of the top sharpshooters. You know, Colin Falls, Matt Carroll. I mean, I'd even
Quinn,
argue,
Chris Quinn,
Quinn, yeah, and even Troy
Murphy was a great shooter as well.
He was. I mean, and he's a guy that could light it up from outside. I mean, that If you're a dead-eye shooter, you're going to seriously consider Notre Dame because that's the kind of offense that we run where that guy's going to get looks.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, looking ahead now, two huge games at home coming up as, you know, we sit a half game out of first place. And you got Pitt coming up and Syracuse, the next two home games. What do you think? Do you think we need to get both of those? Can you split those? You got Pitt, Syracuse, and Louisville coming up. What do we have to do in these next three?
Yeah, you know, I think the best case scenario for us would get two of those three. I mean, I really don't think. In fact, I would be surprised if we win both Syracuse and Pitt. I know that's at home. I know we're playing well at home. But you're talking about two teams that, especially Syracuse, is really playing well right now. I mean, there's a reason they beat Georgetown by 7. It wasn't because Georgetown had an off day. They literally outplayed them. I mean, I watched half of that game. And Syracuse has got some shooters. Now, I like our chances against a 2-3 zone, and I fully expect Boeheim to come in and run a 2-3 zone. I don't think they're going to do anything other than that, and I think that'll play to our strengths if we're shooting the ball well, we beat them. But, you know, Louisville is playing really well, and to go down there, you know, when it gets to the end of the season like this, I mean, there's just a lot of the things that enter in. You know, everybody's tense. Syracuse is now playing to get into the tournament. Their resume right now doesn't get them in. If they beat, they've got us, Marquette, and Louisville. If they win two of those, you'd be hard pressed to say they don't deserve to be in the tournament.
Well, these are the great dynamics of late in the year: is who's got more to play for, who has the motivation, can those things overcome home court advantage? This is what makes this such a great time of year. But yeah, you know that Syracuse is going to come out and play their traditional 2-3 zone, and let's be honest, we've torched them recently here, particularly last year's game up at the Carrier Dome. The shooters that we have, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that we get them out of their 2-3. And I like the matchup with Syracuse, certainly. Pitt is going to present, you know, Pitt's always physical. I know they've been banged up some this year. But Pitt is always physical, and we haven't had a lot of success against Pitt here recently. I think we got to get both those games because Louisville's playing so well. To go down to Louisville, that game worries me a lot. So I think it's really critical we hold serve at the Joyce Center. And, you know, why? Because we're talking about seeding now. This is a great position to be in. We're playing for seeding in the Big East tournament. We're playing for seeding in the NCAA tournament. And I think this three-game stretch here is huge for us. The last three games of the year should be far more manageable, and I like our chances in those games. But this three-game is really all about seeding. Would you agree? What do you think?
Yeah, it clearly is. But I think that, this six-game stretch is going to be the most difficult for us simply because it is the end of the year. Now you got teams that are playing to get in. You even got your conference teams that are playing to get in the conference. You know, South Florida is going to need to win to get into the end of the year conference tournament, which is their only chance to now get into the NCAA. So, I mean, that's no gimme. I mean, you look at that game early in the season and say, "Oh, South Florida, I mean,
yeah,
not any good."
You would hope that you would hope that maybe some things are wrapped up by then, so that they're already out of it, so they're not playing with that motivation.
Exactly, and I just think that now, you know, I fully would not. I would take 4-2. We're good. We got six games left. If we can go 4-2, I'll take that all day long.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I would hate to see us all of a sudden drop three. Maybe even four, and it's possible with the schedule we got left. I mean, that's clearly possible.
You know what? 5-1 is possible, too. This is going to be a great ride coming in down the stretch. I mean, seriously, 5-1, we could do 5-1 with Louisville being the one. It is doable, but I hear what you're saying, and there are no gimmies as evidenced by the tough game we had at Rutgers. Okay, it's going to be a great, great couple weeks here for Irish basketball, so enjoy the ride. We'll be back after the Pitt game on Friday to talk about hopefully another Irish victory. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. Don't forget, send us any questions or comments. info@domeanddomer.com is the email address, or go ahead and post a comment on the website, domeanddomer.com. For Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time on Dome and Domer.